Well, I want to welcome all of our campuses. I want to welcome our Gulf Coast joining us right now. I want to welcome our South Shore campus online and here at Little Creek to the third and final message in our stewardship series called Break the Cycle. Come on, can we just welcome all the campuses that are joining us right now? If you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, every year during this exact time, I'll do 2 weeks in October, 1 week in November. I'll teach a series, usually 3 weeks long, on stewardship. What does the Bible say about all of these topics? Money, possessions, finances. We're finishing up our series today. Again, all of our messages are online. If you ever miss them, man, you can download those and get those. We do give away our CDs free as well. Week one, I talked about breaking the power of debt. If you weren't here, breaking the power of debt. I talked about seven things that we can do in the natural realm, and here's the caveat. If we do what we can do, then God does what only God can do. And God actually helps us in that process. Last week, I talked about breaking the power of lack, and I talked about that ancient biblical practice that God gave us, where it lances our heart from greed and materialism, and it puts us on center point with God, where we look to God as our first, where we look to God, as our provider. I talked last week about that biblical practice called tithing, where we give our first 10% to God and what that does in our heart. And I also said in Malachi chapter 3, it's so powerful. I said, when we tithe, when we're a consistent tither, watch this, it actually invites God into our finances. And God himself said this in Malachi 3. God says, I'll rebuke the devourer off your finances for my sake. How many of y'all want God rebuking the devourer off of your life and finances? I do. I absolutely do. Today, I want to finish up our series. I want to talk about breaking the cycle of fear related to money, this whole issue of fear. I want to talk to you about that today. Speaking of fear, there was a woman who was really tormented at nighttime because she just had this phobia that underneath her bed, that there was just somebody there just gonna jump out and just get her. And she's really concerned about that. She talked to her husband and she just said, honey, I'm gonna go to a psychiatrist. I got these phobias. It's crazy at nighttime, I'm thinking. She goes to the psychiatrist. She says, here's my problem. I feel like somebody's under my bed. I feel like something dangerous is gonna happen to me. And he says, okay. And he evaluated a little bit. He said, all right, here's the deal. I think it's gonna take about 20 sessions, $200 a piece. And I've got pretty good insight that we can handle this. So let me know when you want to start. She goes, okay, well, I'm going to go home, talk to my husband. And so she goes home. And a couple months later, the psychiatrist doesn't hear from her at all. So he calls her up, says, ma'am, I hadn't heard from you. I wanted to be able to help you with this. And she goes, well, actually, I did go home. And I talked to my husband. And I told him I had to go to 20 sessions. It was going to be $200 a piece. Well, what did he say? Well, I'll tell you what he said. He actually cut the legs off my bed. Did you get that? It just, shoo, nothing's under there. No, honey, nothing is under there. Trust me. Has nothing to do with my message, but it was really, thought it was funny. Actually, a little bit, just a little bit. Say, what in the world does that have to do with anything? You know, it's interesting how fear impacts us. Let me tell you, it impacts us in so many dimensions, but one of the areas it impacts us in our spending decisions. It impacts in our saving decisions. It impacts our giving decisions. Sometimes, albeit good, sometimes negative. And here's the reality. Remember, I talked to you about cycles. Cycles are based upon what? Thought patterns that become habits. They become ingrained decision making that we're sometimes conscious and most of the time subconscious. We make decisions. We don't even know why we're making those decisions. And yet, if you go back and unpack and kind of do like this archaeological dig, if we could look in our brain and look at our emotional life, well, could it be that some of the decisions that we're making today, we're making them out of fear? Some of the financial decisions, well, don't be generous. Well, you know, it's holiday season. Well, I don't want to be generous because, you know, I remember one time, if you could really unpack it, your uncle, it was at a Christmas dinner, you were 7 years old, and he said, listen, everybody wants your money. The government wants your money. Don't help people. Listen, they can take care of themselves. And that registered. In your heart. Registered. I want to be generous, but every time I think about it, you know, I don't know why there's this block. Could it be that you picked up something, a thought pattern, a presuppositional bias against something based upon something that you heard. You grew up in an environment, how your parents handled money, how your family handled money, albeit some of it may be good, but some of it may not be so good. And it's impacted you. Reminds me of a story about a girl. During Thanksgiving, she was watching her mom, and her mom was getting ready. She's getting everything ready and cooking, and so she had this ham, and she took out the ham, and she cut the ends off the ham. So the girl was inquisitive, and she's a smart girl. She says, "Mom, can I ask you a question? What, is there a certain reason why, why are you cutting? I've seen you do this for years. You know, why are you cutting the ends off the ham?" The mom paused and stopped and said, I don't really know why I do that. But I do know this. Well, my mom did it. Your grandma did it. Why don't you ask grandma?" She goes, "Okay, I'm going to do that." The girl's a teenager. She's really inquisitive. She called and said, "Grandma, this may sound a little bit strange. Oh, good to hear your voice. But mama was getting ready to cook a ham for Thanksgiving, and she cut the ends off the ham. And she really didn't have any good rationale why she did that. But she did say that she saw you do it. Is there a particular reason why you cut the ends off the ham?" She paused. She goes, I never thought about it before. But I'll tell you the reason why I did do it is because my mom did it." She goes, "So great-grandma did it?" She goes, "Yeah, you ought to call her. She's 88 years old. You ought to call her. She loves to hear your voice. Y'all don't call her enough anyway." That sounds familiar. She calls up her great-grandma. She says, "Great-grandma. Oh, sweetie, how you doing?" They talk and all. She goes, "Listen, I just got to know this." And this kind of started as a simple little question to mom, who would be your granddaughter. And she cut ends off the ham. And she said that her mom taught her, which is your daughter. And so my mom does it and my grandma does it. And she said they got it from you. Is there a reason why you cut the ends off the ham? Because they said that you got it. She goes, "Honey, there's really no other reason other than the fact that my pan I had growing up, when it was just too small, and I just had to cut the ends off of it. It's really it." 4 generations. How many times are we making decisions today? And if we could go back, it's like, well, I just see. What we pick up as kids is so important. The things that we heard, the people that we love and we care about. Talk about cycles. Now, some of those cycles were good. They weren't all bad, all right? Hopefully. But some of them, if you remember I talked about earlier, if you evaluate your thinking in light of the Word of God, you realize, wait, some of this is not good. And one of the areas where fear impacts people the most is in the area of generosity. See, I really believe that people want to be generous. I really believe that. I really believe they want to be a giver. But there's something that often holds them back, and I think it's fear. Here's what Jesus said in the book of Acts. This is so powerful, such a powerful verse. Here's what he said. It's more blessed to what? Say it. Give than to what? Now, that's the words of Jesus. Why is that? Why is it more blessed to give? Well, I think there's a number of reasons why. I'm going to give you one, all right? Well, two. Obviously, it helps people big time. But I think that when we're generous, it not only helps people, it also, there is a blessing in return to us. See, here's what I believe, all right? Here it is. I believe we are designed in such a way that there are certain emotions that God has created us with that are never unlocked until we give and we're generous. Matter of fact, you can prove that psychologically. Take the Bible out of it. If you just have secular psychologists, they can tell you, and psychiatrists, they can tell you that there are certain chemicals that are released, the neurotransmitters, serotonin, and all that good healthy hormone stuff, you know, the happy hormone stuff. They do studies where that is released in people's brains, and their brains fill up with all that good stuff when they are good and kind to people and nice to people. Why is that? I believe that God designed us that way. Do you believe? Because God's a giver. We're made in the image of God. For God so loved the world that he what? Say it. Gave. And if we're made in the image of God, then part of us, quote, operating as a child of God, made in the image of God, is we act like God. And God hooked us to have that feeling. It's more blessed to what? Say it. Come on, say it. Than to receive. I mean, you know how that is. You buy somebody a present during the holidays. Maybe it's a Christmas present.
All right? And you buy them the Christmas present. You know, it's a work. I don't know. They say, here, I got this present for you, you know, and they take it. And they, oh, thank you. I'm going to open it up later. And you're like, why don't you do it now? I mean, you want to see them. You know what I'm saying? It, just, come on, man. Can we be real? We're in church. You got to be honest. And there's something that happens in your heart when you see that. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I want to make a statement again. If you weren't here last weekend, I teach one time a year on the weekend on the concept of tithing. It's so powerful. And I want to make a statement. I made it last weekend. So if you missed it, I want to make it again. Tithing is not the same as generosity. Now, that may be foreign to some of you. Wow, what are you even talking about, Pastor? No, actually, it's not. Tithing, you have to understand this. I'm going to share what generosity is. We're talking about generosity today and giving offerings. But tithing is actually not the same as generosity. See, in generosity, you give to people. In tithing, you give to God. And there's a difference. Tithing is actually, and I got just 1 minute. I don't have time to preach the message, but I want to present a foundation because Randy Alcorn is a great author. He wrote the book, The Treasure Principle. He said, tithing is not the ceiling. It's actually the floor. It's the beginning point of giving for Christians. Tithing is that biblical principle. It goes all the way back to the very beginning. It's that ancient biblical principle where right off the top, whatever we earn, boom, we give 10% of that to God. So powerful. And it's so powerful. Matter of fact, in the Bible, there are two words that are used analogous through the Old and New Testament. It's the word tithing and first fruits. What is that? I'll give you one scripture, then I'll jump into offerings. Proverbs chapter 3, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the what, say it? First fruits, your tithe, the first 10% of your increase. All of your increase, you get paid, you sell something, bonuses, whatever increase comes to you, first 10%. The word tithe actually in the Hebrew is masar, and it means tenth. He says, we give that to God, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Very important that we understand what tithing is, all right? So that's tithing and giving your first fruits. Today, we're not talking about that. That was last week. Today, we're talking about not tithing, but giving offerings. And the analogous term in scripture with offerings is actually generosity. Generosity and offerings are connected the same way that tithing and giving of the first fruits are connected. You know, when you get outside of yourself and you begin to give to others out of a pure heart, it brings supernatural joy. Brings supernatural increase. It's so powerful. Once you understand this principle, and I'm going to teach you this principle. Some of you, you've heard it before. Some of you, you've never heard it before. It's like, whoa. You get this principle, I'm telling you, your whole life takes on a whole new dimension. I was a Christian. I became a Christian in 1987. I was a freshman at Tulane University. Almost halfway through my freshman year. I finished college in 91, spring of 91. And that summer, I enrolled in seminary, Baptist Seminary, and I took classes that summer. And then I actually decided to go away for 2 years outside of the New Orleans area. And I went to a Bible school. It's a missionary training school called Christ for the Nations. And I thought I wanted to go be a missionary. So I went to this school. And like I told you guys last week, if you weren't here last week, again, you need to get the CD. I talked a little bit about myself in the sense of financially. When I was in college, my parents paid for my first semester. After that, said, Steve, you're on your own. Thank the Lord I got a scholarship. But I had a job. I worked 25 hours a week. I needed to work, pay for car, insurance, everything. All my expenses, living, all my stuff. Then when I went to Bible school, same thing. I'm on my own and I paid for school. I paid for car. So I had to get a job. So I got a job at a restaurant in Dallas, Texas, called Tony Roma's, which was a ribs place. And it was a great, I worked. And so school, it was a 2-year school, missionary training school. You go for from 8 to 12. At 12 o'clock, people go work. That's what they did. So I'd do that 5 days a week, I'd work. And so with my working, I made a paycheck and I tithe. By the way, I gave the first 10% of my income, boom, to the place that I worship. The church that I went to in Dallas, you ready for this? Here's the name of it, Church of the King. It's where I got the name from. Now, it's since closed, which is not a prophetic picture of our future. But anyway, I just share that with you. But it's where I actually got that name from. The Church of the King, man, it's a powerful name, man. So anyway, so I was a tither, but I also understood, because I was discipled very well, the power of giving over and above. Everybody say over and above. every time you see the word offering in the Bible, it's connected with over and above. Over and above what? Over and above your tithe. All right? Your tithe always, right off the bat, goes to the place that you worship. Your offering is wherever the Holy Spirit leads and where your passions lie. I'm sitting in a chapel one day. Now, our school was started by a man named Gordon Lindsay. He died at 66. He was actually teaching and had a heart attack and died. And his wife ended up taking, they were in their 60s, ended up taking over the school. That was in the 70s. This is in the early 90s. So 20 years afterward, I go to school. She's in her 80s. We called her Mom Lindsay. She's powerful. You talk about an amazing leader. She was an amazing leader. I'm serious. So we have 1,000 students in the Bible school, and we're sitting there in chapel. And this is the first week. And she rolls out these pictures of these churches. But they weren't just any churches. They were churches with walls all through Mexico and Central and South America and different parts of the world. A lot in Mexico, there are these churches with these walls, and you get a picture, and you had maybe 50 kids, and you had some adults, and everything was up except the roof. There was no roof on the church. So we're Bible school students, okay? And so she goes, you know, if God's put in your heart, I know you guys go to local churches, and I know you're tithers, because the Bible teaches it, but you need to give an offering, you need to be generous, and so these are some opportunities. And so I'm sitting back there, and my heart is just throbbing because I was taught the power of giving offerings over and above my tithe. And my heart was moved, and I remember raising my hand. And I went up there. I wasn't quite sure how much it was, you know. And I looked at it, and it was like, $1,200. Ooh, that's a lot. Sheesh, okay. This is 1991, $1,200. Remember, I'm in Bible school, all right? I'm waiting tables, all right, praying for big tips in Jesus' name. By the way, if you go to Church King and you don't tip, God will show us. You need a tip. You need a tip. That's a whole nother message. Don't leave a track. We will throw you out of the church. But anyway, so bless people. All right. So and all the waiters said, amen, Pastor. So all right. So it's $1,200. I walk back to my seat. Mike Cucci, by the way, Pastor Mike Cucci, who's one of our pastors, he was sitting there. He goes, man, and he actually ended up getting one. And so she keeps going on and on. And so I'm like, man, you know, my heart's moved. I go up there, and again, forgive me for saying this, but I have to use somebody as an example because I'm talking about the power of offerings. I go up there, and I get another one. I'm thinking maybe I just want to do this. I was thinking it was a little bit cheaper, but it was the same price. I'm like, my gosh, $1,200. You ever had buyer's remorse? I'm like, geez, I'm peace. This is a lot. Now I know what some of y'all are thinking. Oh, Pastor, I know what happened. Your mom was in prayer and she sent a $2,400 check and you stepped out in faith and God super. No, none of that happened. I worked all year long. I worked. But I saw the supernatural blessing of God on my job. I saw the favor of God. Let me tell you something. Every time I'd go to work, I would thank God not just for the ability to tithe, but I thank God to pay my bills, and I thank God for extra to be able to give. And I'm telling you, the eyes of those kids are forever burned in my mind. Dude, did I ever meet them? No. Did I ever go to that church? No. It took me 1 year to pay $2,400 off. The whole school year, 9 months. I don't believe that you get to see everything down here, everybody down here, but I'm going to tell you, I bet you one day when we get to heaven, there's going to be some people that walk across and say, man, you don't know this, but I know this, but you helped me. You helped my church. You did this. You roofed a church in this. You did this. How many are looking forward to be able to see all the people that you've had a little part to play touching them for Christ when you get to heaven? I know I want to see that. Everybody say offerings. So there's a tithe that's a biblical principle, your first tenth to God, but offerings are wherever the Holy Spirit leads, wherever your passions lie. Could be given to the poor, could be this, could be that, whatever the Holy Spirit leads. Let me give you one scripture. It's so powerful. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to teach you something today. This is so going to help you guys, because by the way, this applies to every principle in life, what I'm about to teach. It's in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. And he's talking to them about, when I come, I'm going to take up an offering. Paul says this. We believe, please don't miss what I'm about to say. We believe the Bible is inspired by God, all right? Yes, men wrote it, over 40 authors, but we believe it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says,
Holy men of old, they wrote the scripture as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. King James says, moved by the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. God himself is the one that uses the term that I'm about to read. And the context of this is related to finances. All right? Paul says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly. He's talking about finances. Talking about the power of generosity, the power of an offering. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But he who sows, what's that next word? Bountifully will also reap bountifully. The Bible teaches that there is an immutable law in the universe that God established. It's called sowing whatsoever a man soweth, that shall they also reap. Pastor, when was that law first implemented in the world? Let me tell you when. When it was first written about. Now, it was implemented from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 8. This is fascinating. Because let me tell you, some of you right now in your life, you feel like, Pastor, I just don't have friends. There's a key here. There's a key in the related to your finances, your friendship, how people treat you. All of this is a key. It's all linked in together. All of this. It's from this principle. And it's also linked in the power of generosity. Watch this. All the way back to Genesis, the first time the principle of seed time and harvest, the principle of sowing and reaping is mentioned in the Bible. Now, it was happening before this. The book of Genesis records four immutable laws. Okay? Four immutable laws that are inviolable. In other words, you cannot violate them. You're going to participate in them whether you like it or not. All right? It's like somebody says, well, I don't believe in gravity. Well, then jump. I don't mean to be arrogant. I'm disrespectful. It's just, you're going to participate. Okay? Here we go. We're going to participate in these four things, whether we like them or not. You guys ready? Here they are. Number one, while the earth remains, is the earth still remaining? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. This is going to change when Christ's followers go to heaven. All right? Because the new heavens, new earth, this is going to change. All right? But now, as long as this earth remains, four things. Here they are. Number one, what's this? Say it with me. Seed time and harvest. Now, yes, they're using this relative to an agricultural term, seed time and harvest, planting. But Paul, he makes the analogy of giving and receiving, and he's the one that couples seed time and harvest, all right? As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, that's number one. It's going to remain. As long as the earth remains, it's going to happen, seed time and harvest. Number two, what's the next one? Cold and heat. Number three, winter and summer. Number four, day and night shall not cease. Look, it does not matter. If you do not believe in winter, just bind the winter. Actually, some of y'all have been praying against winter. Please stop, because we need it to come. But the reality is you and I are going to participate in that. We're going to participate in day and night. Matter of fact, daylight savings time. I heard that this may be the last one. Is that true? That this may be a fall? The daylight savings time, by the way, started in 1914. All right? And so I don't know. I don't know. That'd be great for preachers because in the spring, nobody comes to church. I'm tired, Pastor. So maybe it's a conspiracy from pastors. They came against the government. So I don't know. But check that out. All right? We got till March to figure that out. Whether you like it or not, you're going to participate in cold and heat. You're going to participate in winter and summer. You're going to participate in day and night. And watch this. You're going to participate in seed time and harvest. The only one that we can do anything about, not meaning that we can't participate in it, but that we can determine the outcome, is this one right here. Whatever we sow, that shall we also what? Say it. Reap. Seed time and harvest. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, uses that term related to finances. That's the context. And it's mentioned several times throughout the New Testament. Let me give you what Paul writes in Galatians. Here's what he says. Talking about sowing and reaping. You cannot fool God. Don't make a fool of yourself. You will harvest what you plant. Isn't that powerful? Let me give you one more. The Phillips translation, it says, a person's harvest in life depends entirely on what they sow. Pastor, I just don't feel like, I don't know, man. I just don't know if I don't have friends. Wait, okay. If you're not reaping friendship, go back to the book of Proverbs. He who wants friends must first show themselves friendly. You sow friendship, you reap friendship.
Man, I just feel like everybody's just against me. Wait.
You sow kindness, you reap kindness. You plant apple seeds, you get apple what? Trees. You plant pumpkin seeds, you get pumpkins, right? You plant nothing, you get, that's not true, you get weeds. That's another topic. Okay, just see if you're awake. Whatsoever a person sows, that shall they also what? Say it, reap. If you want a different harvest, you got to plant different seeds. Paul is inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that uses offerings and generosity in the context of sowing and reaping. Again, it's not tithing. Tithing is very clear. First 10% of your income goes to the place that you worship. The scripture teaches that. And the tithing puts God first. God's first. The offering is wherever God speaks to you. You see a poor person, boom. God speaks to you, boom. That's an offering. It's a generous offering. Some of you have a heart for the poor. You see it. It's like, man, my heart. I just feel it. I see him on TV. All right. That's God talking to you. It's God talking to you. Boom. Respond to that. It's wherever the Holy Spirit. Some of you, you want to see people saved. You want Billy Graham. By the way, you know he makes turns 98 tomorrow. Isn't that cool? And so, isn't that awesome? That's a long life, a century, man. That's awesome. We honor him. What a great man. But some of you love to see souls saved, and so you wanted to give $10 or $15 or $20 a month or $100, whatever. So wherever your passion is, watch this, God will use how he designed you with his voice to direct you to give wherever you're offering, wherever God tells you to go. Some of you get concerned about the next generation and you want to see mentoring in the inner city where there's values and Christian stuff put in it. So God has designed you and God speaks to you, watch this, to direct you wherever he tells you to go with your offerings. That's where generosity comes in. It's the power of it. Pastor, are y'all the type of church that believes you give to get? No, I don't believe you give to get, but I do believe when you give to bless, you are blessed in return. I believe when you bless, it flows. It's called sowing and reaping. Can I tell you, listen, this is important. Can I tell you really what happens when you start to move in generosity? And by the way, generosity, it's not just your money. It's your time, your talent, and your treasure. It's all three. When you really become a giver, you know what you're really doing? I'll tell you what you're really doing. Here's what you're doing. You're really beginning to leave a legacy. Newsflash. You and I are not going to live forever. Isn't that amazing? I'm 48. Oh, it's young. I remember when I was a kid, if you're 48, you're old. No, I'm serious. Do you remember that? I mean, my parents like are stuck in my mind. They've been old forever. I'm serious. It's like, these people are old. The fact is, I'm older now than they were when I was a teenager. And I don't look that old, do I? Come on, just be honest. Don't you lie, you're in church. But here's the deal. This thing's happening, man. So what we can do is we can actually leave a legacy by what we give of our time, our talent, and our treasure. The impact that we make. I love this scripture in Psalms 112. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, the man or woman who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in their commandments. The word of God, I was talking about that earlier. Their descendants, naturally and spiritually. Naturally, some of you have not been able to have children. Let me tell you that. Neither did the Apostle Paul. He wasn't married. How many know? He has a big legacy that we get to eat from. All right? It's natural and spiritual legacy. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright. Talking about leaving a legacy when we give of our time, our talent, and our treasure. Their descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Look at this next verse. Wealth and riches are in their house. The blessing of God. Righteousness endures forever. Verse 4. Unto the upright there arises light and darkness. They're gracious. They're full of compassion. They're righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends, and he will guide his affairs with discretion. Again, a man or a woman, surely they will never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. You know what we're doing? When we understand generosity, when we really start tapping it, I tell you what we're doing. We are leaving a legacy. Let me give you a couple things about legacy. Number one, a legacy is where our life last beyond us. A legacy is where our lives live beyond us. I love what Winston Churchill said this. He says, what is the use of living if it not to be to strive for noble causes and to make this muddy world a better place for those who live in it after we are gone?
You and I are not going to live forever. But what we leave, the impact that we make, it lasts. A legacy number two is graciously giving to something and someone that will outlive you. God will speak to you. God will talk to you. God will talk to you in your life. And God will move. And when you give of your time, your talent, your treasure, you make a difference. And I believe that we will see people that we impacted for Christ. That's, you talk about leaving a legacy that will last forever. It'll come up to us one day when we're in heaven. Where do you invest your time? Where do you invest your talents? Where do you invest your treasure? What cause, what place, what church, what thing? Listen, it's so important because time is moving, and the goal is that we want to leave an impact. We want to leave an impact for God. A couple more things about legacy. Live so your life outlives you. I want to be so sensitive. I know I'm a pastor. I want to be so sensitive what I'm about to say. Live beyond just living to deal with your problems. We all have problems, but you've got to live beyond that. One of the ways to live beyond just dealing with your problems, we all have family issues, you have financial issues, but if you're not careful, your problems will speak to you, they'll talk to you, and they'll tell you to back off, making a difference. They'll tell you you're too busy. They'll tell you that you've got other things you've got to deal with. Don't let your problems speak to you. Let your legacy speak to you. What are you leaving that's going to live beyond you? You know, my role as a pastor is really two things. Number one is to prepare everybody in this church for eternity, to make sure you know Christ, to make sure that your sins have been forgiven, to make sure that you're growing in Christ. Number one is to prepare you for eternity. But number two, it's to equip you to help impact other people for eternity. We have something around here. I'm so excited about this. We have something around here that we've been doing for the last number of years, and we have, and I'm not talked a lot about on the weekend, but we talk about leaving a legacy and legacy giving. Matter of fact, when we moved in this building, and you guys gave so much money for this building at our Little Creek campus, so much. By the way, since we moved into to this building 3 years ago, we've been able to reach, we have 2,000 more people on the weekend just in this campus. Can we give the Lord a hand clap for that? Isn't that powerful? That's amazing. It's what you guys. We have something that we've designed. It's called Legacy Lanes. Because I'm big on this, man. I want us to leave a legacy. I want all of us. Matter of fact, we had a campaign years ago called, this is not a campaign. This is a way, and I'm going to roll it out here just for it. I take 5 minutes. But we have a way that you can identify where your heart passions are and where you can be generous and give offerings to. We have in our church 4 Legacy Lanes that you can participate in anytime, any day. Anyway, you can participate in these 4 things. Number one, the first legacy lane, because you are leaving a legacy. What are you leaving? Number one, the first legacy lane is we have building projects. We have actually right now at every one of our campuses, first of all, we have a St. Charles building project right now that you guys are going to see some amazing things after the first year. We're doing some video. You guys are going to be blown away. That's all I can say. That we are strategically, and I want to thank those of you that have been given this last year towards that. We're going to explain what our strategy is with that and moving. We're going debt-free, by the way. We're going to build at the pace of the people's generosity. We're not borrowing money on any of these projects. We're not borrowing money. We're going to keep ourselves financially strong. Financially strong. We have it in Metairie, we have 550 people that are watching, that are joining us right now at our Metairie campus. We're believing God in Metairie to give for a permanent location in Metairie. Gulf Coast has 350 seats. We're believing God. There's a building fund there to expand to 700 seats. And so whether it's the St. Charles campus, some of you guys, you just get fired up about giving to buildings, and you can give anytime you want. On the back of the envelope, you can see we have the St. Charles campus, a specific one for that, that you can give towards any week or online. But also on the back of this, you can see your tithe and then offerings, building projects. You can mark that, designate, I want to give to that. Let me tell you another lane that people get excited about. It's wherever the Holy Spirit leads you. All right, watch this lane, student ministries. We have people in our church, Pastor, what are we doing for the young people? What are we doing for the young people? I want to help the young people. We have people that pay for youth camps. We have people that want to see our annex renovated over there and get new things for the kids. And isn't it great that we're providing an atmosphere for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids and a clean atmosphere where they can meet God and they can grow in God? Isn't that the Lord's will, to be able to help the people of all of our region? Isn't that powerful? Well, God may speak to you, and you may have in your heart, I want to be a part of that, or lead college. Go back to two, we're Lee College, or I wanna be a part of giving scholarships for people. Again, we're gonna roll out more of what exactly are in each one of these lanes. Let me give you another lane. So one is building projects, two is student ministries, and God may tell you to give an offering to that. Here's the third one, local outreach lane. There are outreach, more is happening outside the four walls of these buildings than inside. Let me just tell you, more is happening. There's more outreach. There's more, not just the medical outreaches and dental outreaches. There's more stuff, more giving away. Literally, our church gives away 100. You guys, this church, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars every year. Actually, $2 million of goods and services go out here and cash, all right, $1.5 million. And you'll see the annual report that we do every year in the beginning of March. I got to tell you guys something that is just so powerful in this local outreach lane, all right? Something that's new that's starting next week. I want everybody to listen to me. I've got 5 minutes. I'm going to ask everybody to tie into me, and we'll be done. We were approached by the Orleans Parish Prison. If we would, because we have everything set up, we have all the cameras, we do live to our Gulf Coast. We have video online that's live. People are watching literally all around the world right now as I speak, right now. Now, if you're in Mandeville and you just didn't want to come to church, we see you, all right, right now, okay? God bless you, but no. So listen to me closely. In our heart, we've been in prisons for years. We were invited into the Orleans Parish Prison starting next week at 9 to 11 o'clock, 2 hours. All right, we're actually figuring out what we're going to do for the extra 45 minutes. We're going to be live in Orleans Parish Prison, all of our worship, me teaching and preaching, reaching potentially eight. It's going to be on every TV. Now, it'll be voluntary, but every TV for 2 hours will be Church of the King live preaching about Christ in the Orleans Parish Prison starting next weekend. Isn't that powerful? Listen. Then, starting in January in St. Tammany Prison, where they have 1,200 inmates, all be voluntary for them. There's going to be, what's going to happen? I tell you what's going to happen. They're going to get saved. Lots will. Their families. We already have family members that are getting saved from because they know that our church. Well, you guess what? Guess what? That costs resource. We hired a person. We've hired people. We got things. That's $100,000 budget. That's not in our regular budget. God may speak to you. Maybe some of you were in prison. Listen. Maybe some of you were in prison and you have a heart for that. And God may speak to you to be generous and to give an offering towards that. Can you imagine starting, and I want you to pray for me, all right? I really mean this. I don't get nervous often. I really don't. I don't say that to be arrogant. But to think about the implications and the weightiness of preaching to all those men and what can happen. You talk about city transformation. How many of y'all could be praying for Pastor Steve starting next weekend about that? I'm telling you, man. So everybody say local outreach. Matter of fact, I want to read this one last thing and I'm going to close. This happened last weekend. We were up at RCI, up above Bogalusa, the prison. We have ministry at all these prisons. This man said this anger had built up in me over the years because my father told me as a young boy, he would come back and take me fishing and never came back. My father died recently while I had been in prison and I never had the chance to reconcile with him. Well, I forgave my dad this past weekend. We did the Freedom Retreat. Some of you were there ministering. Thank you for that. While I was praying with the prayer minister, I felt someone else touch me on my shoulder and started looking around to see who it was, and no one was there. I felt like it was my dad touching me and letting me know that he was there and telling me it's okay. I forgave my dad this weekend and had a powerful encounter with God. How many of y'all are grateful that we have an opportunity to minister? You can give towards that. Let me give you this last lane. It's called Global Missions. We do stuff all over the world, all over the world. I mean, there's so many things. And in March, we lay out as many projects. And we're going to get more specific. You guys built a Bible school in Cuba last year. A Bible school in Cuba last year. Can you believe that? There's more stuff. Water wells, feeding the poor, all kind of stuff, literally all around the world. And we want to make sure to equip you and share the opportunities that are there. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to ask you guys to pray. I teach on finances once a year for 3 weeks. I pray over the tithes and offerings on the weekend. I don't do little mini 10-minute offering teachings every week because I teach on stewardship, I believe. And we don't take up second offerings. We don't take up second offerings for speakers when they come on. We don't take up second. One time of the year, at the end of the year, we would take up a miracle offering. Primarily it was related to finishing out buildings. But we're actually going to reframe that. It's now going to be called a legacy. Everybody say legacy. a legacy offering. And in that offering, it'll be once a year. It's going to be December 10th and 11th. All right, December 10th. It's 5 weeks from now.
I don't believe in emotional giving.
I'm telling you guys, five. If God puts it on your heart, wherever the Holy Spirit leads, maybe you feel God has put on your heart to give a significant gift to the St. Charles renovation. Maybe God's put on your heart to help the student ministries and help us at all. Maybe it is this jail ministry. Maybe say, hey, I want to write a check and pay for the thing or a part of it. Or maybe it's in one of the projects around the world. I'm going to ask you to pray over the next 5 weeks. And on that week in December 10th, 11th, we're going to take up an offering. We've got some special stuff because we're actually going to be giving away checks to people, to ministries. And they don't know that. Don't tell them. Some local outreaches, okay, that we are producing. Because we want there is a rumor and we want it confirmed. Church of the King is a generous church. Church of the King is a giving church. How many of y'all want that rumor about this church? Come on. You guys are generous people. Let me pray.